closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
Let me run with you tonight. I'll take you on a moonlight ride.
Is it Monday? Kind of feels like
there's
it.
Someone I used to see, but she don't give a damn.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way in some ways. Let me ask you something. If you were sentenced to prison, well, let me get how many extra days off would you get before you got to go to prison? I ask, it's a rhetorical question, but Michael Cohen is going to testify apparently in front of three different congressional committees before going to prison March 6th, and they keep delaying his time to report to prison. CNBC first reporting yesterday that Cohen will testify before the House Oversight and Reform Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee. Only one of those interviews will be made public. That'll be the first one from House Oversight and Reform. Now, Cohen, as you may recall, has pled guilty to bank fraud, tax fraud, campaign finance law violations, even though everybody asked that understands campaign finance law says he didn't actually break the law. He's also accused of making misstatements to Congress. He's been cooperating with Bob Mueller's investigation into the alleged Russian interference and allegations that the president or his staff colluded with Russia during the 2016 election. So far, we've seen nothing on that. And the Senate Intelligence Committee says after 2 years and 200 witnesses, they found no evidence of that either. Democrats say, well, that's not quite how we would, you know, characterize it. And yet they didn't refute that from Senator Burr. Cohen was supposed to testify earlier in front of Congress, but told lawmakers he couldn't for medical reasons. But then he's out on social media partying it up the night before he was supposed to testify. Pictures taken at fancy restaurants with a bunch of people drinking and eating and carrying on. He looked pretty whole there. Didn't look too sick to anybody in those pictures. I can assure you that any goodwill that might have existed in the committee with Michael Cohen is now gone, said Intel Committee Chair Richard Burr after that cancellation. He's already stiffed us on being in Washington because of an illness, yet on Twitter, a reporter reported he was having a wild night Saturday night, eating out in New York, five buddies, didn't seem to have any physical limitations, out with his wife last night. Burr not impressed. Cohen's attorney defending his medical reasons in a statement on Tuesday, despite Senator Burr's inaccurate comment, even though it's all on social media. Lanny Davis, you know, the former Clinton inner circle attorney stooge, said that he continues to suffer from severe post-shoulder surgery pain. Not too painful to lift a glass, though, to toast and drink and carry on. So, you know, but I go back to the question I just asked you. If you were sentenced to prison, how many times would you get a chance to, I'm not feeling well today. I'm not feeling well today, and I'm not going to be able to make it to Congress, but, you know, we'll reschedule. You know, I'm going to prison in March, so whatever. Not really a priority. Here's a story from the far left of failed social policy. We've got a couple of them here for you. Panera Bread has closed the last of its ideologically driven pay-what-you-can restaurants. The socialist ventures were called Panera Cares. And the higher-ups have finally figured out that caring, well, that's not necessarily a viable business model. And tomorrow, the final Panera Cares in Boston will close its doors forever. Here's a little bit of the history of Panera Cares. The chain opened its first donation-based community cafe in St. Louis in 2010 under the model championed by the company's founder, Ron Shake. The restaurant operated like a typical Panera, but offered meals at a suggested donation price, not a set price, with the goal of raising awareness about food insecurity. Quote, in many ways, this whole experiment is ultimately the test of humanity, so declared and proselytized Shake in a TED Talk later that same year. Would people pay for it? Would people come in and value it? Well, it appears the answer to his question in his TED Talk is no. No, they won't. Food insecurity, while having a pretty good idea of what that term means, looking it up was important. According to Feeding Texas, food insecurity offers an accepted method for measuring food deprivation. Well, let's talk about the deprivation of the now soon-to-be former employees of Panera Cares. Yeah, their food deprivation just became acute because they won't have paychecks anymore because their socialist restaurant idea was an abject failure. So the employees, and after tomorrow, former employees, will have to find different ways to feed themselves and their families. Just a word to the wise. Socialism fails how often? 100% of the time. Meanwhile, in group think tanks everywhere, the hatred continues for white people. Esquire sparking a heated debate on social media Tuesday of this week when it unveiled an upcoming cover story about an American boy and what it's like to grow up in the era of social media, school shootings, toxic masculinity, the Me Too movement, and a divided country. The problem is, he's white. He's 17 years old. So what it's like to grow up as a teenager in America today, if you're white, nobody cares if you're on the left. It's created great outrage. For Esquire magazine, the story quickly became a trending topic on Twitter, and detractors rushed to mock the magazine for, as Out Magazine's deputy editor put it, radicalizing white mediocrity for the clicks. I see. Jemele Hill, you know, of Michigan State fame and formerly of ESPN after getting booted off for her outrageous comments, tweeted an image of the cover captioned, "Because you know what we don't discuss nearly enough? The white male experience." Right, we shouldn't talk about people that comprise 36% of the American population, white men. 36% of the population is men, and they're white. Esquire's editor-in-chief Jay Fielden explained his rationale in a companion piece headlined, "Why Your Ideological Echo Chamber Isn't Just Bad for You, It's Also Bad for Your Kids." He explained that his own son grapples with a complicated world that nowadays includes everything from accusations of privilege to gender fluidity. Yeah, we fill our kids' heads full of garbage and wonder why they don't function properly. Weird, isn't it? Fielden said Esquire staffers huddled to discuss what it's like to be a kid these days, and the idea for a series of Growing Up Now was born. He said the stories aim to look at America through the eyes of a single kid, with Ryan Morgan being the first in the series. He's white, lives in the middle of the reddest county in Wisconsin, and as you will see, he's unusually mature, intelligent, and determined. Well, God, we can't have any of that. He's the enemy. He's the progeny of the enemy. Good Lord. Hysterical people, aren't they? Hysterical people. God bless them. God bless them. Anyhow, my kid, his contribution is just as valuable, just as important. I don't care how much melanin he has. All right? Or anybody else for that matter. Get a grip, people. 41 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food. We've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra bucks is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching. You're promoted. Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were
We're small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans. But in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency. And 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.